It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
We are going to read Book of Hebrews chapter 11. And what shall I more say? For the time would fall me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and all the prophets. That's what the book of Hebrews say. But if you see in a Judges, there is a different arrangement. It says Barak, Gideon, Jephthah, Samson, Samuel, David, and prophet. So far, we did the Barak, we did the Gideon, and today we are going to do Jephthah. Jephthah is coming from the family of Gideonite. Now the Jephthah is a very smart man and very strong and educated man. But let's see his story. Judges chapter 11, verse 1. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of Harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. Now Gilead is the father of Jephthah. Verse 2. Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of the strange woman. See the situation of Jephthah. This is not a Jephthah's fault that he was born in the family of Gilead and from the prostitute. That is his father's fault. But somehow Jephthah grew, and Gilead's wife's children grew. Now, I don't know that the harlot took care of Jephthah. She gave up the harlot job and took care of Jephthah, because from Jephthah's talk sounds like he was very highly educated and knew the history of Israeli people. But here we see, verse 3, Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Nod. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. Now this man goes out to the land of Tod, or Tod, that is not too far from the Gilead place, is near the Jordan River. Now, when this man goes, I think he has so many followers. But this man, maybe rowdy people, not listen to government or not listen to parents. I don't know what kind of people were there. They followed Jephthah. Just like a David, when he ran from Saul, the king, and he went to Palestine, Philistine place, and the king gave him the place to live. It's called Ziklag. And there were already 400 people gathered and followed David. The same way, this man is a warrior. is a good man, so many people followed him. The number is not given. Then what happened? The Ammonites people start fighting with the Israeli people. And that time, Israeli people did not have any leader. They only saw Jephthah was a good warrior. So what happened? Let's read the verse 4. And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made a war against Israel. And it was so that the children of Ammon made a war against Israel, and the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. Now see, these are the people, the Jephthah's family, his brethren and his villagers kick him out. Now when they have a problem, they are coming back and begging him to come back to their place and try to fight with the Ammonites. This is what happens when the people do not give respect to each other and they have bitterness, and when bitterness causes problems, when there is a divisions, the enemy sees these people are divided, so they think that they can overcome. But now these people have to humble themselves and beg to Jephthah to come back. Now see what the Jephthah said. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you coming unto me now when ye are in trouble or you are in distress? Now what they say, and the elder of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. See what Jephthah says. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivers before me, shall I be your head? See, Jephthah trusts in God. He said, you're trying to take me back, but I want you to tell me, if the Lord delivers the Ammonite people in my hand, will you make me head of the Israeli people? Verse 10. And the elder of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. That means they are saying, okay, we want to put the God a witness between you and us. We are not going to change the word if you come and be our leader. And Jephthah believed in God, and he said, well, I believe if God is going to give me victory, but you people keep your word. Now they promise him, and all the elders, even though before he wins the battle, they made him the elder. Verse 11, it said, then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all these words before the Lord in Mizpah. Jephthah sent messenger unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, what hast thou do to with me, that thou art coming against me to fight in my land? And the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land when they came out of Egypt, Arnon, even unto Jabbok, and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands again peaceably. Now the king of Ammon is telling the people who Jephthah sent. He said, go back and tell the Jephthah that you took our land. When you people came from Egypt, they took Arnon, they took Jabbok, they took Jordan, and all these lands, you should give it back to us. And Jephthah sent messengers again unto the king of the children of Ammon, and said unto him, thus said the Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of children of Ammon. So he is saying, listen, what you're saying is not true. When our Israeli people came from Egypt, they did not take your land by force. So he's telling them and giving them a history. But when Israel came from the Egypt and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land. But the king of Edom would not hearken to thereunto. And in like manner, they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent. And Israel abode in Kadesh. Then they went along through the wilderness and compassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, and came by the east side of the land of Moab, and pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the border of Moab, for Arnon was the border of Moab. So he's trying to say, we wanted to go through the land of Edom. They did not allow us. We wanted to go through the Moab. They didn't allow us. So we just camped near the Moab border. And you know the story of Moab. Because king of Moab called Balak, he called the Balaam and told him to curse the Israeli people. But he could not curse him because God put the blessing in his mouth. So he's telling, we went near the Moab, but we didn't do anything to him. He didn't do anything to us. And the Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, the king of Amorites, the king of Hashbon. And Israel said unto him, let us pass, we pray thee, through the land into my place. But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast. But Sihon gathered all his people together and pitched in Jaffa, pitched in Jahaz, and fought against Israel. Now he's telling, we want to go peacefully, but the king of Sihon also, he didn't trust us, and he wanted to fight with us. And then he said, verse 21, and the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all of his people into the hand of Israel, and they smote them. So the Israel passed all the land of the Amorite, the inhabitants of that country. And they passed all the coast of Amorites from Arnon unto Jabbok and from the wilderness of Jordan. Now if you remember chapter 11 verse 13, king of Ammon was complaining, you took this land, but now he's saying we took it because there was a war. So when we win the war, we got the land. So verse 23, so now the Lord God of Israel has dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel, and shouldest thou possess it? So he's saying now, when he took it, and you want it back, you want to possess this land? And then he says, will not thou possess that which is Kamosh, that's the idol, thy God giveth thee to the possess? So whosoever the Lord of our God shall drive out from before us, them all will be possessors. So now he said, okay, we got this land, and some of the land you have, that Chemos, Achemos, God gave it to you. Now be happy. Don't try to get our land and be happy with your land. Verse 25. Now art thou anything better than Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab? I already talked to you about that. The king of Moab is Balak. And he already tried to get Israeli to destroy. It didn't work. So he said, did he ever strive against Israel? Or did he ever fight against them? He's saying, the Balak king was greater than you. He could not fight with Israel. He could not defeat them. And Amorites king could not defeat them. So they defeated all these people. And then he says, while Israel dwelt in Hashbon and her towns, and Aror and her towns, and in all the cities that belonged to by the coast of Aaron, 300 years, why therefore did you not recover them within that time? So Jephthah is saying to this king, you are fighting with me, and you are telling me give this land back to you. We have taken this land 300 years ago. Since 300 years, you were not able to take that land back to you. And why are you asking me that land right now? So Jephthah is saying, verse 27, therefore I have not sinned against thee. Thou doest me wrong to war against me. So he said, I didn't do anything wrong to you, but why are you doing wrong thing and having war with me? He said, the Lord, the judge, be judge this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. He says, now only God is the judge. If God tells us give this land, we'll give. If God doesn't say, we don't give, because God has given this land and he is our judge, he is our king, he is our leader, and we follow him. But this message, Ammonite king didn't like it, and he was angry. He did not like what the Jephthah was saying. So see what happens. Howbeit, the king of the children of Ammon hearken not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent to him. Now he sent the messenger, and he doesn't want to listen. Now when this thing happened, Jephthah came to know, this man doesn't want peace. He wants war. So we don't know Jephthah prayed, or Jephthah said in his heart, what, Lord, what should I do? The verse 29 says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over the Gilead and Manasseh, passed over the Mizpah of Gilead. He passed over unto the children of Ammon. That means he, as soon as the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he started traveling and trying to spy this land. And he went to Mizpah, to up Gilead, and then he passed over the Manasseh, and he went to pass all the Ammonites' land and checked everything. And when he passing all these things, he thought, God will give me grace and I will take it. So now he's praying to God and he's making a promise to God. If God gives him this Ammonite land and victory over the Ammonites, then he will give God a gift. Let's read the verse 30. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without a fail deliver the children of Ammon unto mine hand, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh from the door of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's. That means whatever I promise you, and if somebody comes out of my door to meet me, I will surely give this as a gift to the Lord. And not only that, he said, I will offer it. Means I will offer it means any animal, cow, bull, or sheep. And he said, I'll offer it for a burnt offering. So this is what his promise was. What his promise was, if anybody comes out of my house, if there is an animal, I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering. And if the person comes, I will give as a gift or offer to God as a gift. And many people are confused in this chapter, but we will come back and explain. Because here it says, burnt offering. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31, it says, you cannot offer children as a sacrifice as the heathen people do, because that is against the law. If the Jephthah knows the history of Israeli people, then he should know the law and the teaching of Moses. According to the word of God, you cannot sacrifice your children to God. Then some people will say, why God told Abraham to sacrifice his son? If Abraham would have said to God, why am I sacrificing my son as a heathen do? Just like Moses said to God, Lord, you are angry and you want to kill all the Israeli people. What the Egyptians will think? You call them to this wilderness to kill them, destroy them? So God says, okay, Moses, I'm not going to kill all the Israeli people. I will only kill or destroy the people who disobey. Abraham did not argue with God. But God found a way and did not allow him to sacrifice his son. Not only that, time of Abraham, there was no law. If there is no law, then there is no guilt. Moses made the law. God gave Moses the law. The St. John chapter 1, verse 11, it says, law came by Moses, and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So Moses is the lawgiver. When we know the law, you follow the law. So I believe in my heart, Jephthah will not offer his daughter as a burnt sacrifice. So let's read the verse 32 and we'll discuss this again. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them. And the Lord delivered them into his hands. He smote them from Aroer even till all they come to the minute, even 20 cities, and unto the plan of the vineyards. With every great slaughter, children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house. And behold, his daughter came out to meet him with the timbrels and with the dance. And she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughters. Now see the situation. When you read this, as soon as you read this, the people will say, when you make a vow, you cannot change it. And you have to do it what the Bible says. But we did study when we are doing the book of Judges. You have to go to book of Judges and study about Jephthah. We did study verse by verse about Jephthah. The time doesn't permit for me to go in details. But only one thing I can tell. Jephthah could not break the law to sacrifice his daughter. So the Jephthah was a little bit upset, verse 35. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes. And he said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. When you read this, it sounds like I said I'm going to sacrifice anything comes out of my door, and I'll give it to the Lord, and I'll make a burnt offering. That's not what he's thinking right now. He knows he cannot sacrifice his daughter. Then why he said? Because when you give something or someone to the Lord, just like Hannah gave her son Samuel to the Lord, then Samuel has to go to the temple and minister to the Lord. Same way, when he gives his daughter to the Lord as a gift, then that gift becomes holy unto the Lord. Nobody can touch her, nobody can kill her, nobody can do damage to her, because she belongs to God, and God protects whatever you give it to him as a gift. So now he gave her as a gift to the Lord. She became a holy vessel of God, and now she has to serve the Lord, and she cannot marry anymore. She cannot have children anymore, and that's why the Jephthah was upset. Now my daughter cannot marry, she cannot have children, she cannot have a normal life, and I made a mistake giving her to the Lord. But he would have changed it, because there are rules in a book of Leviticus chapter 27, you have to read it. If somebody made a mistake making a vow, then he has to go to the priest, and priest say, okay, this is the amount you have to pay for this kind of gift, and you will be free. He would have done that. But the daughter said, Dad, let's read the verse 36. And she said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. My dad, whatever you said, and open your mouth and promise God, keep your promise. Do what you said. I am willing to be giving my life to God, and I can be God's child, go to the temple, serve the Lord, and minister to the Lord. They were ladies and men were serving in the temple when you dedicate them to God. For as much as the Lord had taken vengeance for the children of thine enemies, even unto the children of Ammon. So she said, God delivered the children of Ammon, and you got victory over them, and God is pleased, and I am pleased, and I want you to give me as a gift to God, but give me a couple of months to just mourn for my virginity. And she said unto her father, let this thing to be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail for my virginity, I and my fellows. She said, okay, give me 2 months. Let me go to this mountain. I'll wander around back and forth, go around everywhere, and I'll bring my friends, and we will cry, and we will weep, and I'll tell my friends if she promised to somebody get married, because she never touched any man, but she might say, no, I'm sorry, I cannot get married, because my dad dedicated to me to the Lord, and I'm agree. I'm not going to get married. But I am a little bit sad, but I'm happy that I'm going to serve the Lord. And then he said, and he said, go. And he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity and upon this mountain. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow. And this is what people get confused. He did it according to his vow, means he said, if anything comes out of my house, I will give it to the Lord and I will sacrifice. So many scholars thinking, oh, he did sacrifice his daughter. But I believe if Jephthah knows the Bible and he's the child of God, and the girl is the child of God, and she wants to serve the Lord, and once you dedicate your child to the Lord, that is holy unto the Lord. It belongs to God. And that holy unto God, no man can touch that holiness, because holiness is belong to God. No person can go touch her. No person can go and kill her. Nobody can do anything. Even the father cannot do it. Once she give it to the Lord, that is not her daughter anymore. That is the God's daughter. And that's what happened. And I don't think he ever killed her or sacrificed her. And here he says, and she knew no man, and it was the custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughters of Jephthah, Gilead, for 4 days in a year. Now, when you read this, people think he really sacrificed his daughter. But I told you from the Word of God, I don't think he did it. He was a good man. And not only that, I told you, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. When you have the Spirit of the Lord upon you, do you think the Spirit of the Lord will guide you the wrong way? The Spirit of the Lord will tell you to break the law? The Spirit of the Lord will tell you to sacrifice your daughter like heathen? It will never happen, because the Spirit of God will guide you in holiness, in truth. So you cannot blame Jephthah. You cannot blame anyone. His daughter and him, they agreed to give his daughter to the Lord. And she willingly said, yes, I'm going to serve the Lord. Now, another thing I would like to tell you. If you go to the book of Judges, chapter 12, verses 1 to 7, here what happened. Jephthah got the victory. He was a little bit depressed why he made this kind of vow. Now he has to give his daughter to the Lord and to serve him for the lifetime. And the Ephraimite people gathered together themselves. See what they did. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went toward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to the fight against the children of Ammon, and did not call us to go with you? We will burn thine house upon thee with the fire. So he said, we will burn thine house upon thee with the fire. And somebody will say, what happened? Jephthah didn't do anything. Ephraim people are not heathen. They are the children of God. And why are they gathering together? To destroy him. Not only destroy him, he said, we are going to burn your house down, and you will be in the house, and we burn you also. We just studied about Ephraim people in the last week. When Gideon fought against the enemy, and he came, and Ephraim people came and said, hey, why did you not invite us to go? That you have to read in Judges chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. So he said, well, you killed two kings. I was not able to kill it. So you did greater job than me. So they were happy and they did not fight with Gideon anymore. But now they are again coming to Jephthah and say, why didn't you invite us? And why you went alone and you got the victory? I don't know why they were jealous. I only can think the Jephthah was the son of the prostitute. And his brethren kicked him out. And Ephraim and Manasseh, they were brothers. So the Ephraim and Manasseh, they're brothers. And Jephthah is coming from Manasseh's family. And in Manasseh's family comes Gideonite. So now they are saying, you are Gideonite people are not good people. You are from Manasseh's tribe, but they are thinking they are bad people. Now let's read then Judges chapter 12, verse 2. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at the great strife with the children of Ammon. And when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hands. So now he is saying, you cannot tell me that I did not call you. When I was in trouble, I was fighting, and you saw the fighting, but you did not want to support me. What he's trying to say, you wanted me to get killed because you people hate me. And that's what happens. There are people so jealous, when they don't get something, then they want to get the revenge. They didn't want Jephthah to be their leader because he is the son of the prostitute. And he said, then Jephthah says, when I saw that he delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and I passed over against the children of Ammon. And the Lord delivered them into my hand. So he is trying to say, no, you didn't help me, but Lord did a miracle and delivered the children of Ammon in my hand. Wherefore then ye are come up unto me this day to fight against me. So he said, why did you come? Why you want to fight with me? And they just didn't say, I'm sorry, we don't want to fight. You did a great job. And you are all our brethren. Don't worry, that's okay. We understand. They just wanted to fight. Then what did Jephthah do? Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim, and all the Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, those people were saying, ye Gileadites are fugitive of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manasseh. So he said, from our two tribes, you are the fugitive, you are the people, a wanderer here and there, and you are not belong to our tribe. And indirectly they say you are not a good person. And then she said, Gileadite people with the Jephthah took the passage of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so then, when those Ephraimites, which were escaped said, let me go over that the men of Gilead and said unto them, art thou the Ephraimites? And they said, oh, no, no, we are not. Then he said, okay. Then said they unto him, say unto Shibboleth. And they could not pronounce Shibboleth, they said Sibboleth. So they could not pronounce she, they will say she. So those people killed them, and the word of God said, then took them, and they slew them at the passage of Jordan, and they fell at the time of the Ephraimites, 42,000 people. And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years, and he died. And Jephthah the Gileadite was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. Now that's the story of Jephthah finishes there. So I was thinking about this tribe of Ephraim. Unnecessary, came to fight with his brethren without a fault, and God gave Jephthah victory, and 42,000 people died without a reason. That's what happens. Devil is the enemy. He encouraged those people to fight with Jephthah. They thought Jephthah might be tired and weary, and we can easily defeat him. But when God is in your sight, and if you are right with God, and if you are not doing anything wrong, and you have the Spirit of the Lord, God will always guide you, lead you, and give you victory. And that's what happens. And some people will say, then why Jephthah only served 6 years? And why he died? We don't know how old was the Jephthah. We don't know when God called him and God filled him with the Holy Spirit. How old was he? We don't know. So maybe he died in old age because nobody killed him. He didn't have any sickness and disease. He died with a natural death. But I'm just thinking, maybe he was a little bit depressed about his daughter and was going and meeting his daughter all the time and thinking about her. And sometimes when the people are depressed, they don't live too long. If husband and wife living together for many years, and the husband or wife dies, the husband dies within a month or two. And I heard some dove or some birds also that if their one partner dies, the other partner, even the healthy, they die. So the animal also, they love one another and they care one another. So the point I'm making, we do not know why Jephthah died, but nobody killed him, nobody burned the house down, and the people who said, we are going to burn your house down with you, those people were defeated. 42,000 people died, and Jephthah got the victory. So one more time, let me tell you. If anybody tells you, Jephthah sacrificed his daughter to the Lord, they are wrong. Jephthah cannot do this because word of God doesn't permit him. And so he can only give his daughter as a gift to the Lord, and she can dedicate her life and serve the Lord. If she would have said, Dad, you made a wrong decision, and I am old enough, and you cannot force me to do it, Jephthah cannot force her. If she was a little baby like Samuel, then that's a different story. This girl was mature, and she was holy girl, means innocent girl, not fooling around with anybody, and didn't see any man. She was virgin. And so God also loved her. Can you imagine? You can live in this world, get married, and if you married the wrong person, you will be suffering whole life. Not only that, If you have a children, and those children are rebellious, they make your life miserable. And some of the children, they kill their parents. And not only that, if the husband and wife, they are not godly, they can live 80 years, 90 years, even 100 years, and they die, and they are not godly, they will go to hell. But look at this girl. She dedicated her life to God. And she had a peaceful life, and she might be useful for many other young girls and many other people. What kind of service did it? We do not have history. But I believe anybody dedicate their life to God, God will use them. We have a one lady, Anna. She was also a virgin. She got married and her husband died. And she did not marry again. She dedicated her life and stayed all her life in the temple. And when the Jesus Christ was there for the dedication, she came and blessed the child and testified. So the point I'm making, it is better to serve the Lord. I always tell people, when you have your children, you want to make your children basketball player, football player, hockey player, or any other kind of player, or you want to make your son or daughter doctor, engineer, professor, and all kinds of things. How many people think they can make their children as a servant of God or dedicate to the Lord or tell them from their childhood, you know what, I prayed for you. If God gives me son, I will dedicate to the Lord. And so serving the Lord is better, just like Moses' mother taught him that you have to serve the Lord. And he did. So the point I'm making, don't think that his daughter was burned to ashes. Our God is not in the killing business. Our God wants to save the people. Our God wants to heal the people. Our God wants to deliver the people. And our God wants his people to be useful vessel for him. So I believe that end was good. Jephthah and his daughter did a great job. And Jephthah was kicked out from the family. They said, we are not going to give you inheritance. But he got bigger than inheritance. He became the king or the judge of the whole Israeli nation. So that's a blessing. So let's pray and ask God, Lord, give us grace to dedicate our life to you and live for you. Whatever the other people say, you are not worthy, you are not good enough, you have no vocabulary, you don't know English, you don't know grammar, you are not highly educated, you cannot serve the Lord. But God can use the donkey, then he can use anyone. So let's pray. Say, Lord, here I am. Use me for your glory. I am available. And God can use anyone. He says God did not call the very righteous and very educated and very fine people. He said he called the least one, uneducated. See the Jesus disciples. They were fishermen. And they became good teachers, preachers, and served the Lord. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, if there is someone listening to my voice, let them know this is a good opportunity to dedicate their life to God or dedicate their children to God and tell them about God's goodness. In this world, we did not bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything. So whatever you are given to us, we are satisfied because our God is El Shaddai. If there is someone suffering right now with a sickness, disease, pain, or financial crisis, or any other spiritual matters, let them turn to God and say, Lord Jesus, please forgive all my sins and wash me with your precious blood. and give me grace to live for you and for your glory. And I want to dedicate my life for you. And I want to give my children as a dedication to you, to serve you. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for calling me to serve you. And I again rededicate my life. Rest of my life, I want to serve you. Be with me, be with us, sanctify us, and use us more and more for your glory. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray, and we call it done. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.